Welcome to another episode of On.NET. Today I have David and Dave to talk to us about external configuration for your .NET microservices with Stilto. Hey folks, welcome back to another episode of On.NET. Today I have David Dirif, Technical Marketing Manager, and Dave Tillman, tech lead on the Stilto project. And we're here to talk about microservices with .NET and external configuration. David, tell us a few things about you and the project, and then I'm curious to hear about Dave as well. So introduce yourselves.
Cool. Thank you. Thank you for having us. I am technical marketing within VMware. I've been working on the Stilto project for quite a few years, and have been a member of the .NET community for longer than I'm going to admit. We originally came from Pivotal over to VMware, and where the Stilto project originated within Pivotal. I eat, sleep, and breathe .NET.
Great to hear that. And what about you, Dave?
Yeah, so my name's Dave Tillman. I started the Stilto project within when I was at Pivotal, and I have continued on as the tech lead throughout its inception, and have created most of the code. We've now grown quite a bit over the last couple years, and we've got a number of other good developers now on the project. And so today I'm going to talk about configuration, which was actually one of the very first components that we built as part of Stilto.
Yeah, because getting configuration right is always tricky, right? There's so many different ways of doing things and so many different ways of screwing stuff up. So let's see how this project can help us do it right.
All right, so let's get into Stilto and external configuration. First, let's do a little bit of level set about what Stilto is. Head on to the next slide. So it was created in 2015, and it is an open source project, 100% open source project. Basically, it's enabling .NET developers to build best practice microservices. So what exactly does that mean? It makes programming .NET much quicker, easier, safer, speed, simplicity. So the thing is, like, you're going to be building microservices, and because of that, we know exactly the environment that you're going to be in. We know a heck of a lot about where you're going to be running and what you need to be doing. And, you know, things like portability, following the 12 factors, you know, things like that. These are all kind of contracts, if you will, or guarantees. So why not take all that boilerplate stuff or all that connection stuff that usually could take a lot of code, and let's create a framework out of that, right? And distribute that and let everybody be a part of it. And just make your lives easier, right? When you want to get down to the business logic.
Quick question. Are we talking about every .NET framework? Are we focusing on .NET Core only? And can I build microservices with the full .NET framework, for example?
Let's head on to the next slide. You're walking right into my trap.
Ah, see? Great. Great.
So it's a common question. Is Stilto for every .NET application? No, it is not. Stilto is about microservices. And if you're talking about microservices, you're talking about ASP.NET, you could say web API projects, kind of saying the same thing there. In a very odd way, I have seen it, I'm not going to say it's popular, bringing console apps or something that was a Windows service into a microservice. I see it. It's a thing. I don't think anyone's too proud about it, that maybe steps outside the realm of ASP.NET a little bit, but that's the idea, is we're around ASP.NET and microservices.
Yeah, just a reminder, just because you can do it, it doesn't mean you should.
Amen.
Right, thank you.
Cool, so let's continue on and talk about external configuration a little bit. Before we get into the nuts and bolts of it, what is it? It's an architectural choice when you're putting together your microservices. So don't think individual microservice, think kind of ecosystem or architecture of my whole system. Where configuration values are held in a central repository, right? So where I would have these values in like my appsettings.json file, or possibly, and I use this very loosely, in your web.config file, where you would have those running with each instance. It's the exact same settings, but there is a copy of that with every single instance of your application. When you get into microservices, that can get unwieldy. So let's take all that configuration, put it in another service on your same platform. Just make it name value pairs, very simple storage of stuff. And then let your application retrieve all that when it starts up. And then load everything in and keep running, right? Then every instance of your microservice is using that central repository. And now you open up new doors. The most popular is I can refresh values without restarting the application. I have to take down the application and I can change a connection string, or I can change some business threshold value or something like that in the config server. Very cool stuff.
Yeah, it is cool indeed. Now, a naive question here. Would that be something that I can use with, say, Kubernetes? If I'm deploying my microservices in a Kubernetes cluster, would Stilto be something I need to aspire to use?
So a couple of moving parts there. Mm-hmm. First, you have the application that's using Stilto libraries as a client to connect to the configuration source.
Right.
And the configuration source is a separate instance running out there. Mm-hmm. What you're going to find as we get into the slides here, we support two different clients, the Spring Cloud Config server, and then a Kubernetes configuration maps and secrets. Those two are supported. Now, the Kubernetes thing with configuration maps and secrets, quite frankly, we're not going to touch on it too much. Very, very new. Very, very evolving space. Mm-hmm. Cloud config, very mature, very established. So reasonably with some, you know, you want high availability kind of stuff. You want all the goodness that you need to have in production. You run a Spring Cloud config server. It's an individual instance running, you know, in its own pod. And then networking enables you to be able to contact that and get your config values out. I think I got one more and we'll get on to a demo here. So centralized configuration. When I say external config server and I say centralized configuration, I'm saying the same thing. Microservice architecture, yeah, you could be running multiple instances. And you need a guarantee of consistent configurations. And you need to be able to do things like refresh with no downtime, right? It is not reasonable in today's day and age to change a value and have to bring your app completely down, or do this very, very crazy orchestrated blue-green thing as you bring individual app instances down, and then you get in a place where some have one value and some have another. This is just, that's just not reasonable in my mind. You should see no downtime, and external configuration is an amazingly good answer to this.
Sweet. I like it.
So I think I'll pass it over to Dave, and he'll show you how it's done.
Thanks, Dave. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to show you how you can get up and running with a Spring Cloud config server running on your desktop for testing and development. And then I'm going to create a very simple ASP.NET Core web app that will illustrate how you can access that config server and store your configuration data centrally through the config server. So one of the first things that you need to do, of course, is get a Spring Cloud config server up and running. There's lots of different ways in which you can do that. You can, obviously, if you're into Docker and you have Docker set up on your desktop, you can easily use one of our Docker file, Docker images to get it up and running. So let me bring up the GitHub website, or sorry, the GitHub section where we have Stilto. So Stilto is available, first of all, as Dave said, David said, it's a open source project. So we've got a lot of code and everything out there in the SteelToe OSS organization. And one of the repos in there is the Dockerfile repo. And if you go into that repo, you'll find for all the various components that SteelToe works with, we've got Dockerfiles that we built that allow you to easily get up and running the various components that you might have to interact with. And so for the one that we're going to be talking about today is the config server. So if I drill down into the config server, you'll see there's some information about how you can use these pre-built images to get a config server up and running. There's various ways in which to configure the config server. The config server can access the configuration data out of a GitHub backend repository, which is what we're going to be demoing today. I'm going to set up a GitHub repository that contains configuration data for the sample, little very simple sample app that I'm going to demo. And we're going to let the config server essentially reach out to that GitHub repo and pull in config data, a sample app. You can also configure the config server to just read off of a local file system. And that's what, and each one of the sections here on this README show you how you can use these pre-built images to set up the configuration the way you want.
And for people watching this one, sorry to interrupt, I assume that you can use both public and private GitHub repos if you want to point to a GitHub repo, correct?
Yes, you can. You can use both public and private. A lot of people, in fact, will use on-prem GitHub type technology, which you can then leverage yourself. So if you don't want to use the public-facing GitHub kind of technology, you can also deploy your own local Git repos and access it that way as well.
Fantastic.
A lot of different backends, if you will, that the config server can actually reach out to and grab the configuration data. It even supports, for example, Vault, HashiCorp Vault as a backend resource. And it's not just one. You can actually combine them into multiple combinations and actually have what's called a hybrid set of sources that you can get your config data from. So lots of flexibility with that. Okay, so I'm going to pull over here onto the screen. I've already got a config server up and running. And I'm running it here locally. So I've actually, just so you know, it's a Spring Boot app. It's a Java Spring Boot type application. And so, for example, the way to see if the config server is up and running is just by looking on the console, and you'll see down below here that the config server application is up and running. I pre-configured this so that it's now going to reach out to a GitHub repo that I'm going to build configuration data into. And so I'm going to move this off the screen. We'll take a look at that repo. It's over here. It's in my space, and it's called test-config. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to add configuration data in here that I'm going to access from my ASP.NET Core application. So I've got this repo already made, and I'm going to go ahead and add a file into it. I'm going to create a new file, and we're going to call it foo.yaml. So the config server is able to serve up various types of file formats. The one that's most frequently used is the YAML format. That gives you this hierarchical view, hierarchical capability for your configuration data. And so I'm going to create a file called foo.yaml, and I'm going to put some data in it. I've already got some data that I've created, and it's very simple stuff. So we're going to have two keys in here and associated data with it. So we have a key, config key called foo, and another one called demo config client, and then a sub key underneath that called message. And so I'm going to go ahead and commit this as a new file. And so now we've got some configuration data in this GitHub repo. So now I'm going to bring up Visual Studio. And so now we've got a Visual Studio. I'm going to go ahead and just create a new project, web application project. And we're just going to create a ASP.NET Core web application. I'll just take all the defaults. We're going to create an MVC type app.
out of curiosity, do you you support web APIs, I suppose, and Razor pages, right?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Okay, so we've got a the basic MVC app here sitting here, and so the first thing you want to do is go in and manage your packages. We're going to browse. We're going to select nugget.org and start drilling in on the SteelToe packages. And so what we're doing here is we're looking at steeltoe.extensions.configuration.config server. There's various packages in here that kind of relate to the config server. The one we're going to be selecting is the config server core, because we're creating basically an ASP.NET core app. We're going to take version 2.4. We're going to go ahead and install it and accept. And all looks pretty good. And we're going to go into program, and we're going to add using statement. We're going to pick up on the SteelToe configuration, and we're going to add this namespace config server. And then that gives us an extension method on the host that we can use to go ahead and add the config server as a service in the service container. And it'll be included in the configuration builder that's built for the app's configuration. SteelToe, basically all we do is we extend the config server provider capabilities that exist within the .NET Core configuration packages. And so we basically provide a bunch of additional sources, one of which is the config server itself. And we just build upon that API that Microsoft has, you guys have developed over the last few years. So nothing really that special. Right. Now what happens is when this app starts up, it will build the configuration. And at the time the configuration is being built for the application, we will actually make the REST call out to the config server with some configuration information and request the configuration data to be included with all of the other configuration sources that the configuration builder provided. So that's all you have to do, add the SteelToe config server client onto your application. Now, at this point, the SteelToe client has no way of knowing at what address the configuration server is actually listening. So we have to add some configuration data into our appsettings.json file to basically bootstrap the config server client so it knows where to go out and ask for the configuration data.
Can we do it in code as well, or does it have to go inside the appsettings.json? So in the builder, in program.cs, can you pass those as parameters to your code? Obviously, you don't want to hard code them, but I'm asking whether that's an option as well.
Yes, you can. So, for example, many people will use like environment variables to pass this data in. So, if you want to change it based on startup or environment variable, command line arguments, whatever it may be, you can actually add those values in that way as well. But I'm going to just drop them in as a component here into appsettings.json.
Sure.
Let me show you that. Actually, there are two here that we're adding. One is first of all, everything is under the key Spring Cloud config, and then values underneath that will configure the various. Client will actually use. And so in this case, we're going to essentially give it an address URI to go to in order to query the server for configuration data for this particular app. And of course, the configuration repo can have configuration data for lots of different apps or microservices. And so you have to give it a name that the config server will actually look up for you, right? And so you optionally can configure the name right here. As I've shown, the name is going to be foo, and that's why I put in the repo that I did earlier, that YAML file, because that name matches the configuration data for this particular application name, which I'm naming foo. If you don't specify that name, it will default to the actual application's name itself. So it'll, whatever the application name is upon that .NET Core provides, ASP.NET Core provides, it will use that instead. In this case, I just specifically named it foo to demonstrate how this all works.
So quick question. We named the file foo.yaml. Will the config try to iterate through different formats, or like foo.json, foo.xml, and be intelligent enough to pick it up, right?
Right, exactly.
Gotcha. Nice.
Yeah, so it will actually pull up, and we'll do some more. We'll actually show how you can continue to evolve this naming and use this naming concepts to expand on how you manage your configuration data. All right, so now we've got the software, we've got the package added, we've added it, the config server client into our service container. We've told the config server client where to go and what to use to look up its configuration data. So we've got that all pretty well set up. See, what else we got to do? We need to actually access the configuration. So we're going to go ahead and inject into the controller. We're going to go ahead and inject a iConfiguration controller. Control.bat. So at this point, this is just a Microsoft extensions iConfiguration. And we're going to go ahead and save that off as a field. That's a property. And then I'm going to go ahead and add some code into this controller method index that will actually pull up those values out of the configuration and drop them into view data. In this case, we are going to use that property. So here I'm accessing the foo key, and I'm grabbing the configuration data that's associated with that, and I'm going to drop it into view data under the key foo. And likewise, that demo config client colon message, we're going to drop that in, okay? And then we're going to let the view display it. So we'll go over to the view and very simply drop in something to display those values. So we're just going to pull out of that dictionary those two values and let them display.
Mm-hmm. Great.
At that point, I think we're ready to go ahead, and we'll just hit F5. I'm going to bring the... There we go. So now, this foo.txt and hello config server actually came from the GitHub repo through the config server to the application when the application started up. If you remember, in that GitHub repo, we had populated foo.yaml with that text over earlier. Okay, so now we've shown essentially how the config server will reach out to a GitHub repo, pull in the data, provide it back to the client, the config server client, and then it will be incorporated into the normal configuration builder and configuration mechanisms within .NET Core. If I go back to this config server that running locally, I can show you right here, if you look closely, we see that the config server added a property source, and notice the name at the end is foo.yaml. And that's an indication that the config server has actually gone out and gotten foo.yaml from the GitHub repo and is now has cached it locally at this point.
That's fantastic. Do you have anything else, Soas? I have a couple of questions.
Yeah, go ahead.
So one of them is security, right? So right now we have some plain text values stored in a file. How do we save or store this information securely? So for example, if I had a connection string to a database server, or if I had a key to a public to an API that I'm using, I want to make sure that this doesn't fall into the wrong hands. How can we make sure that config server can help us in securing the app and the config?
Yeah, so a couple things. One is, as far as accessing from the client, the ASP.NET Core app, and connecting to the config server, today we didn't use any security or anything, but we use both, first of all, you can use TLS as the connection to the config server. It supports that. And then secondly, you can use OAuth2 for authentication from the config server client, your application to the config server itself. So the communications from the ASP.NET Core app to the config server can be highly secured and authenticated and in fact, authorized. And then, on the back end, the config server actually allows you to store the data inside of the GitHub repo in an encrypted format. And the config server, when it obtains the information out of the GitHub repo, will decrypt it and then send it over that secure connection down to the ASP.NET Core app as well. So there's and then the third option, of course, would be, for example, to use something like HashiCorp Vault as your backend store behind the config server. Instead of using a GitHub repo, you can actually use things like HashiCorp Vault in order to store the configuration data as well.
Good to know. And the second question I had was around availability. So right now I'm seeing that your server is running, your config server is running as a Docker image. If your microservices are running, you usually use something like Kubernetes to make sure, or Spring to make sure that there's a high availability for your containers. Are we expecting to run the config server inside the same kind of a format, or do you run it separately? What's the best architecture advice here for developers trying to use the config server as a Docker image, for example?
Yeah. So in answer to that, first of all, you can run multiple instances of the config server. So you can essentially run several, spread it out. And then the config server client, you can configure multiple addresses that it will automatically go off and try to access, so that it'll try one. If it's down, it'll try another one. It'll do round robin kind of capability. And then, or the other option is you can use what's called service discovery. It's called a service discovery pattern, where what you do is you actually provide to your config server client the address of a service registry, and the config server will actually go out and all the different instances of the config servers that are running will go out and register with the service registry, and so then the client will go to the service registry and ask for the list of config servers that way, and then we'll round robin through those as well.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And then if you're running on a cloud, like on a cloud platform like Tanzu Application Service, there's already built into that, capabilities to allow the round robin access right within the cloud platform itself, which we will easily take advantage of as well.
Thank you very much. That covered it. Yeah. I love high availability.
So we're going to cover a couple of your questions here. Dave already answered them pretty darn well, but having seen just the beginning pieces of a config server running locally, you have this backend store, You have your application who has a client to connect to the config server. Now you're starting to see all the work parts together. You can go pretty darn far with this. It's just a name value pair at the end of the day. So getting into using branches, tags, and directory structures and things like that to demark different environments, running completely different instances of config server in different environments. Like, man, you can do all kinds of stuff with it. So the same application in different environments. So the really simplistic way that I like to look at it is I have a single GitHub repo. I add development, testing, and production, three folders in there. And inside each folder has a YAML file. YAML file holds the same labels for values, but the values are different, like my database. When I'm in development, I want to connect to a database running locally. When I'm in testing, I want to connect to a database that has some scrub information in it. And obviously production is going to connect to a production database. I have different levels of access, you know, as I switch through those environments. Config server will move with you through all of that. That's what I'm getting at. It will conform to all these different oddities that you have throughout different environments. It's a RESTful-based API, although you never saw it, because that's the beauty of Steeltoe. We have built a client. We know how to talk to all the different endpoints for the API, the config server API. So we know how to do all that magic. Don't spend any time with it. Just bring Steeltoe into your application, add the config server, and then use iConfiguration, you know, throughout your application. Pretty natural. Along with talking about RESTful API, the client, as Dave said, we're not trying to replace anything .NET is doing. .NET Core has introduced so many good things, especially for microservices. So we just want to get the most out of that. So this client is a custom configuration provider, but it is using all the constructs, all the best practices of the .NET runtime to do that. Supported configuration providers. We have Spring Config. As I said, that's pretty darn mature. Dave said it was the first project that Steeltoe pretty much began with years ago. So obviously we got a heck of a lot built out there for it. High availability, labeled versions, all kinds of auth, retries, automatic health checks. So my application, as it reports its health to my platform, it's depending on that config server to be there. So that's a part of my health. And if it's not there, then I'm not healthy. Things like that are automatically wired in with Steeltoe because we know what that environment should look like. The Kubernetes side is we've recently introduced that as well. So Kubernetes in an individual cluster offers things like config maps where I can pass in my YAML-based values. Also has secrets where you can pass in, you know, encrypted secret values to your application and some cool controllers and operators and things like that to play around with all those. So it made a natural sense. Like, let's into that. But as far as the .NET application goes, it doesn't need to be Kubernetes-centric at all. It just brings in the provider and uses iConfiguration to get the values. It's just a matter of, you know, where those values are coming from. Another one that you'll notice both of them share, a feature that both of them share, is refreshing live values, which in just a second, I believe we're going to get into a little bit more of that. But that's a pretty darn cool feature, one that really drew me to external configuration. So as I said, we have multiple clients, but the key is your application is not writing code that's specific to a single provider or a single client. Your application is using ASP.NET constructs and things. So it's very portable. And I can move my app out of Kubernetes straight to Azure, back to local Docker, and it doesn't matter. I could probably use that same artifact, that same compiled artifact, in all these different places. That's portability. Login and health checks. So because this is a component of Steeltoe, and Steeltoe has many other components, everybody plays nicely together. And so with a couple of lines of code, if you've watched our other on.NET sessions about discovery and about just the basics of Steeltoe, with very, very little amount of code, you can have some pretty rich logging and health checks built right in to see exactly what's going on with the interactions of your config server, as well as the values being translated over. One last one, I'm gonna try to not talk so much after this, I promise, is the refresh values. Like, seriously, this one just absolutely got me on the edge of my seat when I first learned about it. Within the configuration interface, iConfiguration within .NET, they have actually a couple of good features. The one that we're gonna talk about here is reload in iConfiguration. And reload basically means refresh the values. Well, as it so happens, our configuration source that's going to get refreshed is tracing back to an HTTP endpoint. So when I do reload, and I could put that in its own endpoint in my application, or I could programmatically call it, but when I do a reload, it's going to go grab the new values off the config server and reload. Right? My application never stopped. That one blew my mind, that I could do that. And so that introduces kind of a cool pattern called config first. There's also discovery first. We talked about that in our other on.NET session. Config first means all I'm going to tell my application is where my config server is. That's it. That's the only thing in my app settings, JSON. Everything else is retrieved from the config server and brought into my application. So obviously you have a pretty hard dependency there on your config server. But if you're doing that and you're relying on all your config values coming from that config server, you got a pretty darn resilient microservice. It can really handle quite a bit of change, of new value structure, you know, stuff like that. You can go pretty darn far. Any questions, any thoughts?
No, it sounds fantastic.
Okay, cool. Okay, I promised I would stop talking. This is it. I'd love any questions from you as far as getting started with Steeltoe, much less with external configuration. Head over to our site, steeltoe.io. We have, you can learn more about app configuration. We got getting started guides. We've got documentation to your heart's content. We got a couple of places that you can actually get hands-on, locally, obviously. We have Pivotal has a freebie cloud platform called Pivotal Web Services. They have Spring Config services already running there for free. So there's a service discovery and external configuration running. Also, this is actually up and coming, is Azure Spring Cloud. So that is a new service, obviously, on Azure. That is the Java version is going to be introduced, generally available, I think, really soon, before the end of this year, for sure, 2020. And then the .NET version of Azure Spring Clouds is quickly going to follow the Java version, so probably take us into 2021. And the idea there is Azure has a fully managed, highly available Spring Cloud services running, so that's discovery and that's config server and app monitoring and a few others. Your app just shows up with the Steeltoe client. Your .NET app shows up with the Steeltoe client. Here you go. Here's a config server. Start grabbing your values out of there. Some very cool stuff. Very, very cool, fun project there. And then finally, support. I'll let everything speak for itself. You can find us in all kinds of different ways and stalk us and talk to us and all that good stuff.
There you have it. All the docs, all the ways to reach out developers, samples, and supported platforms. So I would like to thank David and Dave for spending time with us today to go through Steeltoe and showing us how to create resilient .NET microservices with external configuration. Thank you very much for coming, gents.
Thank you.